Radicalised Leadership with the New Horizons podcast series. This is episode 3. I'm Emma Carroll, Managing Editor for Critical Eye, and today I'm joined by our CEO, Matthew Blagg. Welcome, Matthew. How is it in your neck of the woods today?
It's wonderful. It's a beautiful sunny day, a little bit crisp, very clear, and the birds are tweeting, so everyone's happy.
Perfect. Sounds good. As you know, we've just had a really successful online HRD forum, and we brought together 100 HR leaders to discuss the big challenges they're currently facing. And it's really fabulous to have you here to reflect on some of the themes coming out of that. I thought it was a really wide-ranging discussion, and there was certainly a lot of optimism, but it'd be great if we could look behind some of that sentiment. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were at a particularly interesting point in this part of COVID, in the sense of the complexities in one sense receding, in another sense growing. And I think we're in that sort of optimistic phase that hopefully there is a future beyond. And I think that came across quite clearly, which was exciting to see. And I think that there is real optimism out there. I think that you then get into the moving parts and the complexity, and you know, we've got an interesting road ahead, I think. And I think that that's sort of the particularly interesting thing that we're seeing now, is hopefully with the vaccine and belief around the vaccine taking global shape, I think we're getting into what are the medium to long-term implications, where is your strategy, where will you be in 3 to 5 years? And it's an interesting time in terms of that divergence or convergence.
Okay, yeah, I agree. And it was also interesting in terms of comparing the different job roles. Obviously, as we said, the HRDs were really quite optimistic. Back in January, we asked the CFOs about their opinion and what the mood of their workforce was. And whereas the HRDs said things like optimistic, hopeful, the CFOs said things like tired, fatigued, anxious. Is that purely a timing thing, do you think? Or is there something else at play there?
No, I think these are massive generalistic comments, aren't they? So, but I'll put some generalistic comments together. The finance function, I think, has had a particularly brutal time and continues to, working remotely, remodeling, reforecasting. This huge pressure, and pretty well universally across our landscape, I think the CFO and the team are under more pressure than anything, because I think the expectations now to be running multiple forecasting at a point when everyone's virtual, I think means that you are at the extreme end of the challenges. You can argue, and I think it's debatable, but from an HR perspective, the extreme end we're past the extreme end. And so to a certain extent, we also might be coming towards one where there is more challenge, is the sort of the roadmap opening up, and movement in a lot of ways will create massive cultural challenges. But possibly that's why I think that optimism was particularly felt across the HR directors last week. I think there is another element that this was done in February, not January. And I think globally, January was seen as the 13th month of 2020 rather than the first month of 2021. So there's an element of those things playing out.
That makes sense. If we ask CEOs the same question there, where do you think they would be on that sort of that continuum?
I think CEOs are now broadly optimistic. I think that they haven't got certainty, but they've got a road out globally. And so I think that they're optimistic. I think the single question mark that you've got now is pace. And I think that's the really difficult question that most boards, CEOs, leadership teams are in the process of dealing with. And that pace is really, really, really hard, because multi-jurisdiction, every jurisdiction being in a different place, the rules are different. The road out is still potentially building, but not necessarily transparent, and could dissipate. So really hard balancing act between high growth potential and still massive amounts of potential risks and potential elements where COVID could come back as the autumn comes through. So particularly interesting time in terms of opportunity and risk.
Okay, thank you. And it's interesting that point about pace that you mentioned there. Is there anything that HRDs really need to do in terms of supporting the CEO when you're working at pace? Anything you could pull out?
Well, I think that the HR director should really have a key role in that dialogue, because they should have a really strong, clear clarity around where their people are and culturally what you're capable of. And I think the great HR directors have a real great clarity and insight in terms of that cultural capability. And I think that pace is massively linked. By the way, the more diverse markets you are, the more multi-jurisdictional you are, the more complex I think it is to have that clarity. And I think that it means big global matrix businesses. It's really not easy right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we have lots of conversations about external perspectives, benchmarks, that kind of thing. And when you're working at pace, it can be really difficult to do that, kind of make time to do that. Any sort of learnings in terms of that you could share?
It's actually only now that you're able to reflect, but actually one of the things you realise is you need to allocate more time to reflect more. And I think that's a really strong, clear statement of what's going on out there. You have been in this very reactive environment where in a lot of ways everyone's reacted and leadership is reacted and aligned. I think now this reflection point to get into a future, the business of the future, is really prescient, and making sure that you as executives and you as non-executives have the ability to thrash that out generally in person, to have that debate, to have that reflection about where are we and who are we. I think we're right at the center of that at the moment.
Okay, and to have that debate and to really bat that back and forth, obviously you have to be at the table, you have to be at that board table. And quite often we hear HRDs saying that's one of the issues they have, kind of getting that seat at the table. Do you think that the pandemic has sort of moved that forward? Are more of them sat there now?
I think that the reality for any executive is, in order to be able to lead upwards, you have to have the right team underneath you and the right structure, and then your own focus and interest. And I think that there's no barrier to you being able to do that, but you do need to make sure that your systems and people ensure that you have the time to lead into the organization as opposed to follow. And I think that can be a barrier for a lot of organizations, particularly right now, because the moving parts are so complex that you can get bogged down in the role on those things and make it very hard to actually get outside of that and to lead and support the CEO on that forward agenda. So it's not just about capability. In fact, I think it's less about capability, more situational, and then obviously there's a capability about how brutal you are in allocating time and resource to that.
Okay, thank you. And another thing that really surprised me, Matthew, is we asked HRDs how aligned their leadership teams were, and it was a really high percentage. 82% said it was more aligned than 6 months ago. I thought that was really surprising. I don't know what you're finding in the conversations you're having with the whole of the board. Does that reflect that 82%?
I think yes and no. I think if you said that, bear in mind, this is generally, we're talking about incumbents who've been in an organisation through the last 12 months where they pull together and there's a sense of camaraderie and achievement. And I think if you answer the question around that, then yes, I think universally it's high. It's pulled you together. And I think if you look around the forward agenda, I think there's a very, very different scenario there. And I think that's that challenge you've got right now around, there hasn't been the strategic debate. I had a great conversation last week with a non-executive director of a large infrastructure group. He's talking about how amazing the business was, how aligned they were, and how the CEO and the executive team had done an amazing job and put the people at the front of the agenda, and it was superb. And I asked about strategy. And where it was, I said, oh no, they're running off an old strategy. They haven't had a chance to come together. They haven't sat in the same room together. And we're running off legacy on that front, and we absolutely need to come together to refresh that. And I think that's a massive generalization, but I think that's pretty common. And I think the universal viewpoint is virtual is excellent for execution, excellent to align to a point, but not great for strategic debate and refreshment of strategy.
That's really interesting, because another question we asked them was about their strategy, wasn't it? And how many of them felt that their strategy had been disrupted or changed by the pandemic? And it was quite low. I expected more people to have changed or updated their strategy. Was that surprising to you as well?
Yes. But I think strategy is a term that can be stretched to blue sky to operation execution. And so for everyone, you interpret it slightly differently. So if you look at that spectrum, operation execution, yeah, there probably hasn't been change in a lot of ways. You are continuing on the path that you're on. I think if you think of blue sky, well, not many businesses would sort of chose to go down a different path. They might have been forced to a different path, and that has created the opportunity and obviously risk. I think where we are now, those things have got to blend together. And so sort of what are we, who are we, how are we, is right at that interesting point today. And the strategic clarity, we're looking forward now. We can't be looking over our shoulders. So we're really at an interesting point around that.
Okay, thank you. And we had a lot of people saying how difficult it is to operate virtually without body language, without informal conversations. Can strategy really be done virtually, do you think?
I think operationally, I think we proved that you can execute brilliantly. And so, yes, I think if you take the answer of strategy on execution, then there's no question about that. I think if you talk around really having the ability to refine and think, debate, I think debating is very, very hard virtually. Most boards who've gone virtual will articulate that they massively miss the face-to-face debating capability. And there's a really interesting example from Critical Eye. We're about to support a private equity CEO who's going into a business that has multi-team in multi-location. And his first comment, my first objective is to get them together. Because ultimately, the only way I can build a team who are going to be totally virtual is to make sure there's trust. And that trust is incredibly hard to build virtually. So I think if you have an existing team, you can execute brilliantly. You can onboard people virtually. And there are CEOs who've come in who've never touched and met their executive team and some of their business units. I think it's going to be very, very hard to do that on a constant basis. Generally, I think people meeting and sharing is so important.
Okay. Now, I heard a really interesting story at the forum as well about onboarding new people using virtual avatars, which they were saying is working really interesting. I think there's lots of innovation going on around that kind of thing, isn't there, at the moment?
Well, I think we all recognise that COVID's brought some accelerations of themes that are wonderfully positive. But you're beginning to see more rhetoric around office returning. You know, the Goldman Sachs CEO stating quite clearly that for their culture, it doesn't work. Yeah. And I've just come off a call with the CEO of an Asian business where they're stating quite clearly that it's back to the office. And so I think that debate's shifting again. It was probably more shifting towards a more virtual world. I think that we will have a more virtual world, but I think we've got more of a balancing dialogue beginning to come to the surface.
Okay, and that in terms of the working virtually and that kind of hybrid model that we're in the centre of at the moment, anything that HRDs can really do to make that work?
My general view is that this is going to really be difficult, and HRDs are going to be at the front line of that, because there's such a width of opinion on it. You know, I can quote within Critical Eye, HR director of an infrastructure group, who basically said there's not going to be a need for anyone to work in an office ever again. And this is a business employing thousands with big operations around the world, to another business which says, no, everyone's going to be back in the office by April. You know, there isn't a right and wrong. So where I think that there is a huge opportunity is the HR function should be leading that debate, because ultimately you're going to have to implement it. And I think there's going to be a massive need for really honest, open debate both at leadership level, but throughout the organization. And I think you've got to focus on what is the 3 to 5 year plan for this business? Where does it need to be? And culturally, what does that mean that we need our people to be able to do, and how do we lead them? And I think that's where we really ride at an interesting point now.
Thank you, Matthew. And sort of thinking about that alignment question, when the top team is drifting apart, what can the HRD do in order to bring that alignment back together?
Well, I think that it depends what stage it is. But if you can see the cracks appearing, the most important thing is you get everything on the table, and that might be difficult, and it might require several sessions to achieve it. But I've always believed in collective responsibility, and I think when you start getting the breakage of alignment at the top, and it starts to percolate through the organization, it just cascades. And you see that as you get further away from group, it becomes toxic. And I think the HR director can see that probably better than anyone else. And so they've got a really important role to play to identify things early and to help facilitate that dialogue, act as a conduit between the board and the executive. There is a reality, if through that dialogue you can't align, then there has to be a change of people. And that might be chairman, it might be CEO, it might be executive, it might be all. But you have to align towards that forward strategy now.
Okay, thank you. And what about the role of the CFO as well? Where can the HRD and the CFO collaborate most powerfully in those kind of situations?
I think, interestingly, traditionally, the two of them probably would have worked in a more silo state. Mm-hmm. I think COVID's brought the two together in a massive way. I think that for lots of different reasons, but the group functions have been under immense pressure, but also in a lot of ways have been the heroes through this. And so there has been a natural alignment. I think as we go forward, there's an incredible opportunity for that to be harnessed, so not to snap back into the silo, but to think about how you can work together more closely, more strategically. And there's no question that the two group functions have more potential today to align and work together than they've ever had before. So it's more of an opportunity than a risk at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much. Has the pandemic transformed the world of work as we know it? And what's the role of the HRD in reinventing the workplace?
A simple answer is yes. I think when we look back in 20 years' time, we will look back to this last 12 to 18 months as seminal in terms of change. I mean, it's accelerated pace of trends that already existed, but it's also challenged us in a way that we'd never have felt possible. Now, where we are on that, I think is difficult to say that there are answers, and hence why I think you've got to look in a longer scale. I think from an HR director perspective, I think we're at a particularly important juncture as we look at the culture that got you here to the culture of the future as you look towards medium to long-term strategy. And I think that it's going to challenge HR directors and the team because we've got accelerated organizational change coming towards us. We've got a massively complex global regulatory environment that's going to be hard to execute against. And we've got individuals who are tired, have been isolated, and yeah, we're going to want them to go faster. And so that's going to put pressure. It's going to be a great opportunity, but it is going to put huge pressure on already stretched resources. And that's going to mean that the HR director is going to be right at the front line of some pretty complex, difficult, exciting moments in time.
And in terms of making that work, how can the HRD collaborate within the business? What are the sort of relationships that will be crucial in making that work?
I think you've got to have and access to what's really going on throughout the organization. And again, I think leadership teams that are connected are going to thrive, and connectivity is beyond their own organization. It goes into the consumer, it goes into wider society. There's no question, you know, obviously in Critical Eye, we're here to provide an external environment, but the need for external sources of knowledge has never been higher, because the benchmarking, the reference points on decisions. And I was struck by a conversation I had with a private equity CEO the other day, talking about influencing his owners. And his comment was, it was vital that I had external input to come into the boardroom to provide wider context, because ultimately, in order for them to buy into my strategy, they needed external reference points. And I think that's the interesting and exciting opportunity, with so much that's up for change and questionable. Who knows whether they're right? You've got to have benchmarking capability right now.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting as well. I'm hearing lots more about businesses not only benchmarking, but also collaborating outside their boundaries as well. Is that a kind of trend you're seeing?
I think that's true. I think one of the things to bear in mind is that with any of recorrection, the businesses that come out the best are the ones who are at the front of that correction. So you're seeing collaboration at businesses that were massively impacted. So the airline industry, leisure industry, the leadership capability in there is going to take advantage of that in a way that the other sectors will struggle with. And I think one of the challenges you've got is organizations that are in sectors that have actually had quite an easy period. Now, easy is a very, probably not the right word, but benign in terms of economic challenge. I think they're going to struggle more. I think for them, they're going to struggle to get the pace out. As the market opens up and opportunities come down, I think executives will want to be in faster paced organizations. I think the collaborative capability won't be as visible. So I think the really interesting thing is to see how this equalizes, and businesses that have really struggled and culturally, I think, will thrive.
Okay, thank you. And we're talking a lot about transformation. So what does that crucial relationship, that chair, CEO, HRD relationship look like in businesses that are going through transformation? Where does it work well?
I think we all know the simple terms. When it's aligned, it's straightforward and easy. So I think it's better to dwell on when it's not aligned. You've got to spend time together, and come together means in person. So if you as the HR director are not fully aligned with your CEO and chair, spend time together. Make sure that you're now allocated. If you're in different parts of the world, try and work out how you can be in the same room together. You cannot get away from that need to come together and openly discuss things in a closed room environment, because that alignment is so essential. And if you haven't got it, you've just got to find the time to really thrash it out.
Okay. And so get together in person, number one. What about how can HRDs, once they are there, how can HRDs better influence the strategic agenda?
Key for me there is that they have the right team. In order to go faster, you've got to have more time allocated to that forward agenda. And so have you got the right systems? Have you got the right people? If you've got them in the right place, you can spend more time on the forward agenda. If you're not, you're always bogged down in HR because there's always something going to fall over, always going to suck you in. So you've got to ensure, in order for you to step up, you've got to have a team underneath you that can lead in your absence. And so for me, that element of upgrading your talent capability, making sure that your systems are world-class and able to give you analytical information flow fast, ensures that you can provide the board with implications. And that's the role of executives. It's not to tell people what to do, it's to ensure that you provide the board with the clarity of the implication of any decision that's made, but you need the resources to do that.
And you talked about systems there, the sort of interface of systems and people. There was a lot of talk at our recent HRD forum about technology and the importance of being digital fluency And I'm wondering, is that something you see HRDs excited about the opportunities, or is it somewhere where they feel exposed?
I think a bit of both. And I think that's probably true in all executives. I think that everyone, I think, buys into the excitement. I think that getting there stage, I think, is extremely daunting. You know, if you said to most executives, draw a blank piece of paper and create a digitally enhanced business, they could all do it. They're not in that case. They're usually transforming something that already exists. And that means that you're breaking something as soon as you're moving to something else. And that has unintended consequences, and that gets difficult. So I think that the key word in this is simplification. In order to have a more advanced, digitally focused business, you have to have a simpler business model. And I think that's the one thing that the boards need to focus on, and that cascades down into the executive team.
Great. And final question for you. Our next big date on the Critical Eye calendar is our Growth Company Forum. And I wondered whether any particular challenges that you see HRDs within those fast growth businesses facing.
I think the interesting right now is there's a massive amount of growth potential. I mean, again, what we can all see that technology is unlocked capability. I think that the point with high growth is that it can be very brutal. And I think that the real role of an HR director in that environment is to make sure that the growth has medium to long term sustainability. And I think that's a really hard thing to get right. You know, it's easy to get swept on a growth curve. And I think that culturally, growing with a culture that is able to perform and change and evolve at pace, in scale, I think is a massively exciting thing. And I think the HR director role in that is huge. And I think it's then about making sure you've got the competencies around you, so you don't get bogged down into the detail, but you're able to lead in terms of organizational of the future. Because that's what you've got to have, is you've got to build the organization that you need for tomorrow today in order to achieve that scale in a sustainable manner.
Thank you, Matthew. I look forward to carrying on the conversation after the Growth Company.
Thanks, Emma. Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.